Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, to this program, Al Fiqhu ala al Madahib al Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 18th of Jumad al Ula, 1443, corresponding to the date 23rd December 2021. Listeners can send their queries through to the number 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, it will be +27847863132. Today's topic is Islam and Christmas. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum to you, Mona Zaid Khan. We welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Insha'Allah Aziz, tonight between 8 and 10, we will have a special Q&A. It's an open line on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And you can post and send in any question, and inshallah, keep it short and sweet, and inshallah, we will try and answer all the queries tonight between 8 and 10 as well, inshallah, Aziz.
Mufti Saab, the first question is, what is Nabi Isa alayhi salam's rank and status in Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to know all these facts as Muslims first and foremost, and then we propagate it to other people, the Christians and people of other faith. Isa alayhi salatu salam, his honorable name is mentioned 25 times in the noble Quran, so that's the first fact we should know. And what is the meaning of Isa? Isa means to be a leader, to be fair in complexion. And remember, he was the last prophet among the Israelite prophets. So not the final prophet for all humanity and creation. That is for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But among the Israelite prophets, remember, he was the last prophet amongst them. And thereafter, we find the hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif that what had happened was there's a gap of 600 years. After the going up of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, he being rescued by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, because the Jews were trying to assassinate him, murder and kill him. So Almighty Allah states, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ, nor did they kill and murder and assassinate Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him, nor did they crucify him. And remember, Almighty Allah saved him, protected him, rescued him, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala elevated him physically, bodily. So all this happened. So Almighty Allah states in verse number, surah number 4, chapter 4, and verses number 157, 158, 159. So Almighty Allah states, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا, definitely, surely, they did not kill, assassinate him, بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, but Almighty Allah raised him, and that is physically, bodily, in the state of awakeness. And we believe when the time comes, according to the wisdom of Almighty Allah, the second coming of Jesus will take place. And when Jesus comes down, one of his primary functions will be to kill and destroy, remember, Dajjal, the Antichrist. And that will happen between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem in a place called Lud. So Lam Dal, they spell it Lot when you go there to occupy Palestine. And second one, the Jews and Christians who will be living at that time, Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 4, that is Surah Nisa, and verse number 159. So, إِمْ مِنْ أَهَلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ, that verily the Jews, Christians, none of them, but they'll bring Iman and faith on him, on Jesus, peace be upon him, before his death, before the death of Jesus, peace be upon him. And those who refuse, a war will be waged against them, remember. And obviously they will be defeated. And therefore he came to kill the Dajjal, the Antichrist, and he'll come down لِإِبْطَالِ أَقِيدَةِ الْيَهُودِ وَلِإِبْطَالِ أَقِيدَةِ النَّصَارَى, to nullify and tell the Jews and Christians that what you are believing in is incorrect, and this is the true belief, and this is the true message, and so forth and so on. And thereafter, remember that after all that happens, there will be peace, tranquility, serenity. He will get married, he will have two sons and so forth, and thereafter in the latter portion of his life, and after that again there will be another trial, and that is Gog and Magog will come out. So he and his people will go, remember, to Tur Sinin, Mount Sinai, and remember that after some time they will petition Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, destroy this, you know, Gog and Magog, Ya Juj Majuj. Then on their necks they will have a sore or a boil and so forth, and they will die, you understand, mess take it, you know, death for them, and thousands of them will die, that is Gog and Magog. And thereafter, remember, what will happen is that he and his people will come down from Mount Sinai, and the stench and the foul smell will be there. So they'll make dua to Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, that you know that the smell is very, very bad. So Allah will send floods and rains and so forth. Winds will come and cast them into the ocean. And then in the latter portion of his life, he'll move to Medina Munawwara, and there he'll pass away a natural death and be buried right next to Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the unanimous belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Obviously, you will get people who say they are Muslim, but remember, they're out of the fold of Islam, like the Qadianis and them. They say Jesus died already and is buried there in Srinagar, in Kashmir, in India. So all that is rejected totally. So what we must know is that if you just juxtapose and compare what the Quran Kareem speaks of Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, and what the Bible speaks, you will see yourselves much more honor is given to Nabi Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, in the noble Quran, compared to what is in the Bible. In the Bible is mentioned that he was crucified and then put in the tomb and all these things here, as is the Christian belief. One side they say that Trinity, his Son of God, Allah forbid, which is blasphemous and kufr and shirk. And secondly, then they say that he was crucified and he died and then he was buried. So all this is an insult to Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam. So remember that in Islam we are teaching you the proper perspective regarding Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, and he was one of the great, great prophets and messengers selected by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Mufti Sahib, when Nabi Isa alayhi salam comes back, will he come back as a follower of Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam?
Remember that we believe Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, is, will always be the last prophet and last messenger. This is enshrined in a noble Quran. Walakin Rasulullah wa khatam an-nabiyyin, that he will be the last of all the prophets and messengers. So therefore, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam will come as the follower of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But remember, on taqwini issues means administrative issues, he will receive commandments what to do, when to go, for example, to Mount Sinai, when to wage the war against the Dajjal and the enemies and so forth. So regarding those type of issues, remember that Almighty Allah will inspire him and tell him what to do and so forth and so on. So therefore, we must remember Nabi Isa alayhi salam, his milad, his honorable birth, took thousands of years before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, the last prophet, last messenger, is always Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Almighty Allah has mentioned it in the noble Quran, as I mentioned, walakin Rasulullah wa khatam an-nabiyyin. And if you want the reference, so this is is the reference you will find, and it is in chapter 33, Surah Ahzab, verse number 40. Chapter 33 and verse 40.
Mufti Saab, what is Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam? Should we say Hazrat
Maryam? We must say Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. So that is the proper verdict regarding that issue. So what is her status and her rank and state? We shouldn't say alayhi salam. So because alayhi salam and that is normally for the Anbiya, prophets and messengers alayhi salam, although some ulama have written it, but best is we say radiallahu anha for Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha. You say Sayyida Maryam, you say Hazrat Maryam, all that is fine. So look at her rank and status in Islam. Her honorable name is mentioned 34 times in the noble Quran, and Jesus, as I told you, Nabi Isa alayhi salam is mentioned 25 times. And what is the meaning of Maryam? It means Abida, the worshipper of all Mighty Allah Jalla Wala. And chapter 19, one entire surah is dedicated to this pious and great lady. And she is the only lady whose name is mentioned explicitly in the noble Quran. Allah Ta'ala speaks of other ladies as well, but their honorable names are not mentioned. So that is how Almighty Allah has elevated her. And Almighty Allah states, wa ummuhu siddiqa. And Almighty Allah states that she has reached the highest rank a female can reach, and that is Siddiq, because there can't be female prophetess and so forth. So therefore, wa ummuhu Siddiqa. So that is, she reached the rank of Siddiq. How we say Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. So that is how she also, Almighty Allah, conferred this title to her, and it is enshrined in a noble Quran. If you want reference of it, open chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, and verse 75, and one will find it there. Thereafter, we must remember, we believe that Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, his birth and everything was done miraculously. Remember this. No strange male touched Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha. Why it's important for us, some sectors and some people in the Christian faith, they say there was a person, and remember that his name Joseph the carpenter, Yusuf Najjar and so forth. I personally heard one day on the radio many years ago that Tutu, you know who they call Bishop Tutu, so he said, as far as the Anglican Church goes, whether a person says that Jesus was born, that a natural birth and so forth, and the father is, you know, Joseph the carpenter, I'm paraphrasing him, and remember, or you believe in the miraculous birth, all this is acceptable, meaning that it is a flexible issue. In Islam, it's not like that. Remember that in Islam, we say, Jesus, Prophet Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam's birth, everything was miraculous, and Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks of it in the Noble Quran, in Surah Maryam, and therefore, if you want to know more about this, the entire chapter, and that is, we must remember Surah 19, Surah Maryam. Almighty Allah speaks of this incident in verses 16 to 40. Verses 16 to 40 are in Surah Maryam, chapter 19. So all the details you will find in the Noble Quran. And if any person says, no, it was a normal male-female, and then there was a marriage or so between Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha and Yusuf Najjar, Joseph the carpenter, such person will be out of the fold of Islam. So we need to be very clear on all these type of issues as well. Another aspect we should know about Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha, she has two titles as well. One title is Maryam al-Azra. So in English they say Mary the Virgin, for example. So in Islam we have no problem with that, because remember, remember, no strange man, men touched her, and so forth and so on. So therefore, to say Maryam or Azra with the Ain, which means virgin, so all is fine, permissible. Or you say Maryam al-Batul, or just Maryam Batul. So Batul means watabattal ilayhi tabatila. There's a similar word in the Quran. So Batul also is a wonderful name for our females, our daughters, our sisters. So it means that she moved away from the toxic society where there were sins and vices, and she went away makan and sharqiya, there to the eastern part and so forth. So therefore we should know, even the Sayyidah Maryam radiallahu anha, you just juxtapose and compare with what the Bible says, what the Quran Sharif states, what the Hadith states. She is one of the greatest ladies of all times, all places. When we study the Ahadith and so forth, Ahadith means the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So therefore, we must always tell them, you take your Bible and we take the Quran, and then we draw a comparison. And any person who does not suffer from a jaundiced eye or a blinkers will tell you what the Quran spoke of Sayyidah Maryam is much more impressive, respectful, compared to what the Bible has spoken and mentioned and so on.
Mufti Sahib, who is referred to as Ruhullah?
We must remember that Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, he has various miracles, because at that time people were very proud what they can do and so forth. So Almighty Allah sent and selected the prophets and messengers, and they were not elected by people. So Allah would bless them with mu'jiza. One miracle, mu'jiza. Mu'jiza, the plural. So Almighty Allah tells us regarding the miracles of Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, wa ubri'u al-akmaha wal-abrasa wa uhyi al-mawta bi-iznillah, that I cure the baby, the infant born blind, the leper, people suffering from leprosy, wa uhyi al-mawta, I give life to the people who died naturally, but not my power, it is not, it is bi-iznillah, with the command, permission of Almighty Allah. Surah 3, chapter 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 49. So therefore he's called Ruhullah. Ruhullah means that with the power of Almighty Allah, the Ruh would come back into the deceased, and the person, he, Jesus, would say, peace be upon him, kum bi-idhnillah, stand up for the dead person. And lo and behold, he would be waking up and so forth. So therefore he received the title of Ruhullah.
Mufti Sahib, coming to Christmas, what is the meaning of Christmas?
Remember that if you study the Christian books and Christian theology and so forth, so many articles are written and so forth. So they will tell you that the old English, that it is Christus Messe. So I'll spell it for you, C-R-I-S-T-E-S and M-A-E-S-S-E. So this is ancient English, archaic English. So C-R-I-S-T-E-S and M-A-E-S-S-E. So nowadays they translate it as the Mass of Christ. So meaning that now people must gather and they must celebrate and so forth. So the beginning of the birth of the baby in Bethlehem and so forth. Now if you challenge any Christian pastor, priest, pope or predicant, as you say in Afrikaans, that tell us where is it mentioned that this happened, you must remember in December, on the 25th December. So for that they have no evidence. That they also confess to and admit to that fact. So what has happened is this. This is the history of Christmas. So if you ask that, do you have any evidence, proof in your scripture, your holy book, that regarding the honorable, auspicious birth, miraculous birth of Jesus, so that being 25th December, so they also will tell you, no, they don't have. So how did this come about? So the Catholic Church wanted to compete with the rival pagan rituals held at the time of the year because of its closeness to the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere. So you know it was the shortest day and the longest night. And they used to have the long, you must remember, many customs and rituals and so forth. So this was the traditional time for celebration among the many ancient cultures. So you see what the Catholic Church did. That they said that so many people are celebrating during this time here, winter, and it was the winter solstice and so forth. So let us also bring one celebration in. And that's how they brought in and introduced Christmas. So it shows it has nothing to do with scripture. It has nothing to do with revelation. It has nothing to do, you must remember, with original teaching of Jesus Christ or Jesus, peace be upon him, or Almighty Allah, nothing of that sort there. Therefore, and this is key, this every Muslim should underscore and underline. So in the year 1647, in the year 1647, remember the Puritan Parliament of Britain, they banned Christmas celebrations and they said that this is a pagan custom and has got nothing to do with Christianity. So the key words there are 1647, Britain's Puritan Parliament bans Christmas ceremonies and celebrations and even said it is a pagan custom. So it shows that today the Christians in the world who say that they are celebrating Christmas, so you don't have real evidence for it. You don't have real conclusive proof for it. And see in your own ranks. This is not me. You can go and check it up yourself and you will see. You know you have these people. On Sundays they walk around and the people that come there and they ring our bell, knock our door. The thumping preachers, we call them, you know. So they call the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses. You ask the Jehovah's Witnesses, do you celebrate Christmas on the 25th December? They will tell you no. It's a pagan custom. So they reject it. So they're supposed to be Christians, but they're rejecting it. So that's one. Then you have number two. You go to Egypt. You have 10, 12, 15%. Even today of the population in Egypt, they are called the Coptic Christians. Maria Kiptia. Kipt. So remember that. So these Coptic Christians, they reject it. They don't celebrate on the 25th of December, the Christmas celebration. So this is in your rank now. People who claim to be Christians, but they don't agree with the 25th of December. Then you go to Russia. So we've been there to see all these places. You study what they do and so forth. So you go to the Orthodox Church of there in Moscow and in St. Petersburg. These are the main centers and so forth. And what will you see? That they don't celebrate on the 25th of December. So it shows, like we say in Urdu, karku aag lag gayi ghar ki chirag se. So the house is burning with a lamp in the house. It shows that this was more a Catholic thing and this was in competition with the pagan customs and tradition and celebrations they would have during the solstice and winter time and so forth, where they had long nights and short days there in the northern hemisphere. So they said, let us also introduce something where we can also celebrate and so forth. So the very basis of it, if you look at it, as I mentioned, which we have a very, very strong proof, is the Puritan Parliament of Britain, which banned the Christmas celebration in 1647, that this has got nothing to do with Christianity or Jesus, peace be upon him, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Rather, it is more a pagan custom and a tradition.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program. Mufti Sahab, what is Santa Claus and what is the meaning? Who is this person?
Remember that again, in Christianity, when you study, then you will find that there is one person who they call Saint Nicholas. So the origin of Santa Claus begins in the 4th century. So already you can see it's got nothing to do with Christianity. It only started in the 4th century. There was a person according to them and his name was Saint Nicholas. He was the Bishop of Myra. Myra, M-Y-R-A, Myra. And Palmyra is a place in present-day Turkey. So this person, yes, Saint Nicholas, according to their script, according to their books, not scriptures, and according to their belief, they say that he was a very, very generous person, and he devoted his life to the children and so forth and so on, giving them money or presents or food or whatever. So after his death, remember, around 340 CE, Christian era, right? So that is then Saint Nicholas, according to them, he passed away and he died and so forth and so on. But in the year 1087, so this was, he was buried there in Myra in Turkey, M-Y-R-A. So the Italian sailors came and they stole the remains and removed them to bury, B-A-R-I, in Italy. And this is how now Saint Nicholas became very popular throughout the whole of Europe and so forth, that he could perform miracles and he could do this and he could do so and so forth and so on. So you can see it started there in Turkey, from Turkey then it went to Italy, and then from Italy where it goes to, Saint Nicholas became the patron saint of Russia, where he was known. So this is what they would try and show to the masses and the public, because it's easy to fool the masses. You know, in English what we say, in Arabic we say al-awam kal-an'am, and in English we say the masses are asses. So now remember, so now they fool their own people. So where he was known by a red cap, you know, used to wear the red cap and a flowing nice white beard, and in Greece he was known as the patron of the saint of sailors, in France the patron of lawyers, in Belgium the patron of children and travelers, and the feast of Saint Nicholas was celebrated on December the 6th and so forth. So now remember, slowly as time passed, so this Saint Nicholas is very, very long. So now they published a book and they said the night before Christmas as a gift for children. So there they started calling it, remember, as Santa Claus. So Santa Claus actually is like a abbreviation or another name for Saint Nicholas. But if you go into the history of it, you will find again it has nothing to do with Christianity. It has all to do with paganism and to hoodwink the people and beguile and deceive the people, like I'm giving you the history. From Turkey it went, you must remember, to Italy, and then from Italy to Russia, and then it spread in Europe and so forth. Therefore, even today you will see, it might be a noble action, we are not disputing that, you know, the Christians especially, they will go look for poor people, maybe orphans or widows or destitutes, and go and give them food, give them clothing and so forth. So that is a good deed, we don't dispute that. But the fact remains, the origin of it and the basis of it, that is our point. The whole thing is flawed. So therefore in Islam we say, when you want to empower people, we don't have to wait for a special occasion and so forth, that we don't have to wait for Eid day or the day of our celebration. Every day you must empower poor people, help them, help the orphans, help the widows, the destitutes and so forth and so on. So our academic discussion proves that this whole Santa Claus business, it is in relationship and connected to Saint Nicholas, but remember that that also is a cooked up thing, because it only started, you must remember, in the 4th century. So it shows that these were later on, additions to the Christian faith and so forth and so on. It's not something that Jesus taught, or the prophets or messengers taught, or his disciples taught and so forth. So that is the problem, like what we will say. So many customs, traditions, people have brought into Islam. But alhamdulillah, the ulama-i Rabbani, the ulama-i Haqqani, the true scholars, they defended it and they said that these are bid'ah, these are innovations. So therefore, Islam remains in its pristine purity. No addition, no omission, no interpolation. But said to say, that has not happened with Christianity. From the Pope downwards, the priest, and you must remember the bishops, the cardinal, they all just went with the flow because the aim was to please the people. And then the bankers were very pleased. You see, December, the shops are booming, remember that, and the business is flourishing, and people's bank balances are increasing. So it suits the Western world. People want to take their leave. People want a holiday. People want their wine, dine, and swine. So all this in the name of Jesus. So how can that ever be justified? So me and you as Muslims, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, that you, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say, هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي, that this is my path, this is my way, أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, I invite towards Almighty Allah, Allah basiratin. So when we invite, if I tell you that if a person passes away on a Friday, what Iman and Islam, because tonight Islamically is Friday, tomorrow is Friday Jumu'ah, so manidda'a shay'an fa'alayhi dalil. So when you claim something, then you must substantiate, corroborate it with proof and evidence and so forth and so on. So that is what the requirement is. We must be very, very clear on that issue. And where the dalil for that? See the next word, that qul hadhihi sabili ad'u ila Allah ala basiratin, with firm conviction. So the person who is inviting must also know that this is my belief, this is my conviction, not something is just a custom and a tradition. So that cannot be held as evidence. That will not pass as a law. So I told you, if a person passes away on the night of Friday, I'm just giving an example, or the day of Friday, so substantiate. We say hadith in Tirmidhi, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tawaffahu Allahu yawm al-jumu'ah aw laylataha waqahu Allahu min fitnatil qabr." Whosoever passes away with Iman and Islam on the day of Friday or the night of Friday, tonight after sunset, so then waqahu Allahu min fitnatil qabr, Allah will protect that person from the torment of the grave. And in authentic hadith, so see again Quran chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 108. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, this is my way, my path, and my methodology. I'll invite everyone to Almighty Allah, to Islam, Allah basiratin, on firm conviction. I will believe, and then I will propagate and educate the masses regarding that. أَنَا I, Prophet Muhammad Mustafa, حَبِيبُنَا رَحْمَةُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَنِّ Taba'ani, and those who followed me immaculately, and the first people to follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, immaculately, were the Ashab, were the Sahaba, the beloved companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 108. From these three words, Ana wa manit taba'ani, we use the term and derive the term Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. See, sunnah will come from ana, that this is my way. And jama'ah will refer first and foremost the misdaq-e awwali. It will be first where applicable to who? To the beloved companions, radiallahu an. And me and you, the latter generations, who follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and follow the sahaba, we are, radiallahu anhu majma'in, we are called ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. So that is why we say Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So we need to understand. So that is our challenge to the Christian world, that show us some evidence that regarding the origin of Christmas from your scriptures or holy books, show us some evidence from your holy books and your scriptures regarding Santa Claus and that. Don't speak about those things that are additions, interpolations that were introduced Jews 2, 3, 4, 5 centuries after that into Christianity. So that was makes it Jahiliya and a pagan custom and tradition.
Mufti Sahib, what is the hukam and the ruling of a person who takes a picture with Santa Claus?
So you must remember that today our Muslim people, they just will do for fun sake and all that. Many of them will not believe, but they will just say for fun. Obviously it's haram and all these type of things, but you will not say that it is kufr or disbelief immediately unless that person says he believes in that. Then it's different, obviously. But today the ummah is ignorant in most cases. They will just say, no, that, you know, let me pose with this one and that one. Or they will take their child and sit in the lap, you must remember, of who? Of Santa Claus. This happens a lot in the Western countries. They're walking and Santa Claus is there. So they will just put their child, because the child is crying, I want the sweet, I want the chocolate, I want this. So obviously, you're not going to say it is something that takes the person out of the fold of Islam. You will say it is a major, major sin. But if he says he believes in Christmas, or he believes in the Santa Claus and all that, then without a shadow of doubt, we will say the person is out of the fold of Islam.
Mufti Sahib, someone just sent a message now saying that an account says the Christmas tree is in a Saudi masjid, and it says that Islam is beautiful, Islam is peaceful, Islam is rahmatul lil alameen.
Remember that the Saudis have sold out Islam, and MBS is the chief architect. He is Murtad bin Shaitan. So if they put the Christmas tree right there in the mosque and masajid, or they put it in their shops or in their houses, this is just to bootleg the West. You must remember, I told you 100 times and 100 occasions already, as far as MBS, Murtad bin Shaitan goes, and his cabinet who agrees with him, that these are the things they must promote. They murtad out of the fold of Islam. There's no question about that. Everywhere in the Quran Sharif, I give you 2 verses. We can give many more, but I'll just suffice with 2. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in chapter 5, verse 51, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu al-yahuda wan-nasara awliya. So that do not, you must remember, take the Jews and the Christians to be what we will call that your friends and protectors. Why? Ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd. They are the friends of one another. And remember that وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ, who befriends them, you like them, you like their culture, you like their festivals, you like their traditions, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, you become part and parcel of them. So what a wa'id, warning that is. Therefore, without fear and favor, نُكَفِّرُهُمْ, we say 100% they kuffar and they murtad and out of the fold of Islam. So we are clear on that issue there. Second one you must remember is this, that Quran says, chapter 2, verse 120, they can try how much they want to. You must remember, whether it was Mustafa Kemal Ataturk, when he came, destroyed the Khilafat, and he banned the Adhan, banned the Arabic language, banned the madrasas. You saw what happened to him if you read his life history. The last 2 years of his life, remember that you will find from his body that all this different type of, you know, liquid and, you know, what can we say, that is insects and so forth were emanating, coming out of his body and so forth and so on. So all this happened to show the world that this is our punishment. These chaps here, the way they're carrying on, and then one side they call themselves Khadimul Haramain Sharifain, one side banning the Hajj for foreigners, 100% murtad they are, there's no question. And 700,000 people in the rave over 4 days and so forth. So they have joined Hizbu Shaitan. And for us, it's nothing surprising that they will put the Christmas tree and all these things. So see what Quran says, Surah 2, verse 120. وَلَن تَرْضَىٰ أَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَىٰ. And I will show you the translation nowadays in relation to them. So the Jews and the Christians will never be pleased with you. So Jews and Christians now, Israel, the rogue apartheid regime, and America, Europe, they will never be pleased with you. وَلَن تَرْضَىٰ أَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَىٰ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ Till you follow their religion. You have to give up everything of yours and then go to them. Then they will be there. So that's what he's trying. He's trying to walk on a, you know, tight rope, as you will say. One side he wants to play to the Muslims. One side he wants to play to the West. So remember, such people are 100% murtad and out of the fold of Islam. And when people speak, then you know Saudi Arabia is a turnpot dictator. So thousands of people, ulama, are languishing in prison and in jail and so forth. So therefore, they will try and bootlick America. See, this is the new face of Saudi Arabia. We are a country, you must come, tourism and so forth and so on. But remember, where's your human rights? You must remember, people got no rights there. You speak one word against him, what he did to Jamal Khashoggi. So all these are there. So you must remember this. What they're doing currently in Yemen, 5 million people on the verge of starvation. So all this are documented. It's not something we take out from our pocket. Yes.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, if a person walks into a shop and he sees a Christmas special, can he purchase the item?
So you must remember that we are speaking about the Christmas tree and all these type of things here. And you can speak about the specials and all that just now. So what was this Christmas tree story and how did this start and so on? So what had happened was, this also we should write down and make notes of it and so forth. You see, the Christmas tree was brought to England. Now this we must know as Muslims. So when we argue, not argue, but when we discuss with the Christians, we tell them that this got nothing to do with Christianity. This was the royal family or certain churches or priests. You know, they also have scholars for dollars and so forth. So the Christmas tree was brought to England by the Queen, by Queen Victoria's husband. So let's repeat that. The Christmas tree was brought to England by Queen Victoria's husband, Prince Albert. And now, if you know Prince Albert, he was a German. So he brought it from his native Germany. And that is why you see in the famous illustrated news that is in 1848 featured in the royal family of Victoria, Albert and their children gathered around a Christmas tree in Windsor Castle, popularized the tree throughout the Victorian England. So you see how the Christmas tree got custom and it got acceptance and so forth. The royal family and the person who brought it was not also from England. He was rather a German, and Prince Albert, the husband of Queen Victoria and so forth. And therefore, when you see the royal family of Victoria, so Albert and the children and so forth, they all are posing there with the Christmas tree in the Windsor Castle. So this is in the illustrated news and of 1848. So we see again that all these are additions, and how now the fools among the Muslims. Remember, therefore, you see in the Quran Sharif that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam used to make dua that you know, will you punish us? Bima fa'ala sufaha'u minna, ya Allah, do not punish us because of the fools in our midst, in our rank and so forth. So that is what we are seeing now. People who are supposed to defend Islam, they are selling out Islam. They're not Khadimul Haramain Sharifain, they are Hadimul Haramain Sharifain, destroying the Haram Sharif. And remember, they in the rave, no mask, no social distancing, no nothing. But you want to go for Umrah, then you must have social distancing, you must have mask, you must have this. Is that not satanic? Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, when the people started asking crazy questions, so he begged Allah to make dua, atuhlikuna, ya Allah, are you going to destroy us? Bima fa'ala sufa'a'u minna, because of the fools and idiots in our rank and state, in our rank and places. So this is mentioned in chapter 7, Surah Araf, verse number 155. So that is where we are today. You take the Arab countries, majority of them, the rulers are murtad. The king of Bahrain building a big church there, and your Emirates building a temple for the Hindus, the biggest temple outside India. And then you see Saudi Arabia is front of you, what's happening, the kufr and shirk and so forth. And then you must go that side to the Egypt, you know what's happening. That where the Ikhwan, half the Ikhwan and the Muslim Brotherhood or more are in prison and so forth. And the West are propping him up, remember that. But they speak of human rights and democracy, all just nifaq and hypocrisy. Bashar Assad, the Pakka Kafir Shia, so what he is doing, so murdering our Sunnis. So 90%, 80% of them are out of the fold of Islam. This is the Arab tenpot dictators. Then you go to the Muslim countries, majority they also are non-Muslim. So they are just Muslim for Eid day, Ramadan time, posed to the cameras and dirt. So they feel that Islam is an impediment in their progress and so forth and so on. So in Islam, there's nothing to do. You must remember with Jesus' birth, 24th December, he was born. Remember his Milad Nabi Isa took place in summer and not in winter. If you go to Palestine, now it's midwinter. And remember that you will find that Rutaban Janiyah, fresh dates and, you know, ripe dates, Allah made arrangements. So that will happen in the summer months, not in winter months. And even if you study and peruse the Bible, you will find at the time of the birth of Jesus, peace be upon him, the animals were grazing and so forth. That will not happen in winter. So therefore, this whole story, then you take, you must Santa Claus, also another pagan custom. Then you see the Christmas tree, also another pagan custom. It has no basis and so forth. Yes, now the shops and so forth and so on, they have a Christmas special, they're selling this, you understand, a stove or a fan or some clothes or furniture, a special, and you go and buy. So that's fine, there's no problem with that. But for us to go and say, no, I'm just going now tomorrow night, you see, Christmas Eve, that's the word they use. Christmas Eve, I'm just going to check the lights a little bit out. You say, no, me, I don't want to go. My children want to go. Naam mera kam tumara. You know, he also want to see, but they will use the children, you understand, as an excuse. So today also I got a question like that. So you must remember all that is haram. Why is haram? Hadith mentioned in Abu Dawood, man tashabbaha biqawmin fa huwa minhum. Whoever imitates a people becomes part and parcel of them. This hadith is authentic in Abu Dawood and Musnad Ahmad. Man kathara sawada qawmin fa huwa minhum. When you increase the numbers of a people, so the Christians are there, they are celebrating, they are wine, dine, swine, dancing, jiving, whatever. So you go, even though you're going in your vehicle, car, but you are increasing their numbers. So tomorrow you can wake up with them. The hadith in Musnad Abi Awana. So you see. And then Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, authentic in Mishkat Sharif. Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person will be with whom he loves. So when the Arabs, when the Muslims, irrespective of what their name is, Ahmad, Muhammad, Abdullah, Abdul Qadir, Fatima, Zainab, Aisha, Jamila, whatever. So that you love all these things, so Quran Kareem tells you is haram. Chapter 5, verse 51. Chapter 2, verse 120. The hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I gave you three hadiths now. Man tashabba biqawmin fa huwa minhum. Al mar'u ma man ahabba. Man kathara sawada qawmin fa huwa minhum. I gave you the references. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, you know Sayyidina Umar. What Umar used to say on the farsh, what Sayyidina Umar used to say on the farsh, on the land and sand, remember that Allah many a time would send from the arsh. So you see so many examples. If you want, go open Itqan Fi Ulum al-Quran by Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahullah, you will find over 20 places. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's fatwa regarding these issues, whether it is Christmas, whether it's New Year, whether it's Rosh Hashanah, the New Year of the Jews, or whatever, any custom, festival, tradition of the non-Muslims, and you, the Muslim, want to be a participant there, this is the fatwa of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, mentioned, remember, in Bayhaqi, Ijtanibu a'ada Allahi fi idihim, Ijtanibu kathratul huruf الحروف تدل على كثرة المعاني. You must stay far, far away. That's the translation. Each time, from the enemies of Allah, from the enemies of Islam and Muslims and so forth. So, fi idihim, during their celebrations, during their festivals and so forth and so forth. But today you will find the scholars, you know, who love to curry favor with the governments, bootlickers, we call them. So they will say, no, it can be permissible. They will make some ta'wil ba'id, some far-fetched interpretation and so forth, and look for loopholes and hila. So all that is rejected totally and absolutely. So in Islam, the khulasa summary is this: we have nothing to do with the Christians in their celebrations, in their Christmas, and with their Santa Claus, and with their Christmas tree. And if the Arab countries, even if they put in Makkah, Medina, it's still haram. And it's worse to do that in Makkah, Medina. Therefore, Quran says, when you commit a crime right in Makkah, then, and not only crime, you make intention of a crime. Surah 22, verse 25, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Then we will unleash a terrible punishment for them. And you can see the punishment they are going through. And chapter 22 and verse number 18, وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِيمٍ. That how humiliated they are, disgraced they are everywhere in the world. So who can forget about Jamal Khashoggi? Who can forget about what happened in Yemen? Who can forget how they're murdering people? You must remember, so in the Iraq war, they gave full assistance to the coalition of the Americans. So we can't forget all these things here. So therefore, we must be very clear on these issues here. Allah Jalla Wala protect us from the Murtaddeen, and that is the apostates, and the Mufsideen, the mischief makers, and the Munafikeen, the hypocrites. So that is of paramount importance. Okay, next up we have the news with Brother Yusuf Ali at 12. Thereafter, the da'wah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Islam, with Mufti Shiraz Desai of Port Elizabeth. Then at 1 o'clock, the Zohar Azan. Then 1:05 to 1:30, the report back. So our trip to Maputo, mashallah, that will be a repeat between 1:05, 1:30. 1:30 to 2, Surah Nahl, we go to the archives, verses 1:01 to 1:05, then 2 to 3, Madrasa on Aim on Azahid Khan, and then 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. Very interesting. A lot of non-Muslims, mashallah, contacted us. 3:35 or so will be that Surah Al-Adiyat, Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri. 4 to 5, Surah Al-Fat, Mohana Ridwan Qaji. And 5 to 7 will be, mashallah, Mohana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the translation of the khutbah of last week. So that was Sheikh Sawood Shuraim speaking about parents. 7:30 to 8 will be, remember, that Maulana Yunus Patel Rahimahullah's advices. 8 to 10 tonight, we have a special live Q&A between 8 and 10. And whatever questions you want, we will try and answer it with Maulana Zahid Khan and myself. And that will be 8 to 10 tonight. And then 10 to 11, that Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki al-Shaheed, his series, mashallah, on the year after. So wonderful live programs. Make dua for us and the Ummah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say Jazakumullahu khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah.